for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
First evening, May the 25th, 1989. First service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. It's a privilege this evening to have Brother Jack Harris come for a few minutes and minister the word of the Lord to us as the Lord moves upon him. Brother Jack Harris is a teacher of teachers and a prophet of the Lord, and it's a privilege to have him to come and greet you this evening and bring the word of the Lord for a little while. Brother Jack Harris from Beckville, Texas.
Praise the Lord. I thought I heard him call in Texas a while ago when you was naming the state. Somebody else here from Texas?
Texas? Where are y'all from Texas?
Yeah, I'm closer to Brother Miller than I am to you then.
Yeah. I always say that when you're in a crowd like this,
don't ever ask anybody where they're from. If they're from Texas, they'll tell you, and if they're not, there's no use in embarrassing them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord God reigns. I'm so glad he does, aren't you? My goodness, I am confident with the Apostle Paul of old that he who hath begun a good work in us is able to perform it until the day of the blessed Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. If I were not confident of that, I think I would despair. When I think of how many years, I often have said that, you know, and that God can change a person in less than a minute's time. And that's the truth, so I'll have to go on stating truth. But while he does change a person in less than a minute's time, he doesn't get through changing him for a long, long, long time, does he? When he changes him in a moment of time, he just changes his direction. Then he begins to try to work out his plan in that man or woman. And after many years, you'll find that his plan is still, he's still working on you. He hasn't completed it yet. I was made distinctly aware of this some years back. A friend of mine, another minister and apostle, G.C. McCurry. Some of you may know Brother. I know some of you know Brother McCurry. He's a big man. He's 2 inches taller than I am, I guess, and about that much bigger all over. that pulls him up well above 300 pounds. And we had met, we was having a seminar in Atlanta, Georgia, and we had invited Costa Deer. Anybody know Costa Deer? So we went to pick him up at the airport, GC and I, and Costa Deer used to be a boxer, and he's a health radical. Runs 6 miles before breakfast, you know, and he wanted me to run 6 miles for breakfast, so I didn't know nothing to do but just quit eating breakfast. Well, he said to us, as soon as we got in the car, we loaded his stuff and got in the car, he said, if y'all would just pull over here and stop, briefly said, I want to reprimand you guys. And he said, will y'all take a good reprimanding? Well, of course, we couldn't very well say anything but sure. And he said, I'm ashamed of you fellas. He said, it takes God 25 years to to raise up apostles like this. And y'all are going to eat them to death and kill them. You're just eating yourself to death.
Sure, well, we was both way overweight, you know, and
he said, you're going to die a premature death just from overeating. And said, I know that you probably hadn't thought about it, but you know this temple is not yours, and you're bought with a price, and he just admonished us good to, kind of watch it, which we took it real good and took it hard. I really took it hard, and I think that Brother McCurry did, too. And we both immediately shook off about 20 pounds, but, you know, I have some. And but it was the truth. It was the truth there that we ought to be more conscious of who we are and what's taking place within us. I tell you, Jesus said, the Bible says that Jesus came up out of Philippi, of Caesarea, Philippi, with his disciples, and he stopped and asked them, who do men say that I am? Well, they said, some say that you are Elijah, and some other prophets, and some think maybe you're John the Baptist, or, you know, reincarnated or rose from the dead. Well, Jesus said, but whom do you say that I am? And the apostle Peter said, I say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was very excited. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Father in heaven. And then he said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, I tell you that the church has been under attack for almost 2,000 years, hasn't it? I mean, external enemies, internal. It's been raped, ravished, brutalized, abused, and every attempt from within and without. And tonight, by the Spirit, if I look with the spiritual vision, I see that the church stands in more splendor than ever before. I tell you, indeed, he will accomplish his purpose, won't he? Hear, O house of the Lord, for the Lord Almighty would speak to thee this night, saying, Yea, I've seen your gathering together. I know that you have come together unto me, saith the Lord. I shall cause this night, beginning right now, yea, and through this entire meeting, I shall cause that the healing virtue of Jesus shall flow freely through the body of Christ. Yea, I shall give a liberal flow of deliverance through the body of Christ for this meeting, saith the Lord. Yea, deliverance will come. It matters not what the ailment is. I begin to form your mind now that I shall be healed. Yea, and in this meeting I shall get delivered. Yea, for the Lord thou God shall deliver thee. For the Lord has positioned ministry, yea, in the crucial position and in the place where it is necessary. Yea, know that timing and placing is of God. Yea, and it is not by accident that you have come. Yea, but you have come as the Spirit directed you, even though by and large you were not conscious of it. But I tell you, I shall get your attention before this meeting is over. Yea, I shall make you very conscious of my presence, very aware that you are in the realm of the Shekinah glory of God. Yea, I shall sharpen your spiritual wits, saith the Lord thou God. I shall sharpen your sensitivity for discernment, for know, my people, that a great spirit of deception is in the land. Yea, and the adversary roars even now, like a lion after his food. Yea, he wants to see whom he may devour. But I tell you, my people that are called by my name, when they shall humble themselves and pray, I will give deliverance. Yea, for deliverance will come. I tell you, yea, to look unto me. Listen and feel with your spirit. Come and taste and see if the Lord be good. Listen with your spirit, and you will hear ever so gently. Deep will call unto deep, and you will be stirred from your inmost being, and you will know that it is the Lord that speaketh, yea, and not man. Oh, saith the Lord, I shall speak through the vessels of clay, yea, but it is my voice. It is my words that shall be spoken. But don't you know that my words are truth and that they are life? Yea, therefore, they are unlimited. Just begin to believe for your need. Yea, for I can meet every need in every realm. Spiritual, physically, mentally, materially, yea, nothing shall be too hard for me. Yea, know that it is the duty of man in this hour to seek his God with all of his heart, mind, and soul. Yea, and if you do that, yea, if you will to do God's will, though deception is strong in the land, it shall not come nigh your dwelling. Yea, I tell you, as surely as Jezebel painted her face just before destruction, so shall the enemy try to distort Zion. Yea, he shall try to distort Zion and paint it to look like Babylon and try to make Babylon look like Zion. Yea, until if you know not the Spirit of the Almighty, you will know not which way to turn. Yea, and if you know not a discernment of the Spirit, you will know not from whence your help cometh. Yea, you will not know who to turn to for help. I tell you, my people, that I have many people in this place, yea, that have called my name, that have surrendered their hearts and their lives unto me. I tell you, as you have received of me, I tell you to minister in like manner. Yea, if you have been delivered, minister deliverance. Yea, if you are born again, minister from there, saith the Lord. Yea, for I called thee and lifted thee in the heavenly places. Yea, know that I will not let up. Yea, until I have conformed you into my own image, saith the Lord, thou God. Only do not rebel. Just lend me your mind. Yea, lend me your being, and I'll lead you to Zion. Yea, and you'll be overcomers, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, and I will give to you an abundance of entrance into the glorious kingdom of your God. Yea, for you are my people, and not the people of another. Yea, I am jealous over thee, saith the Lord, thou God. I do not give my honor to another. Yea, but I do not count you to be another, saith the Lord. I count you to be bone of my bone, yea, and flesh of my flesh, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, and know that I am changing you from glory to glory. Yea, from faith to faith. And have you not read that every one of them in Zion appeareth before the Lord? Yea, you have appeared before the presence of the Almighty. Yea, and you hear a sure word of prophecy. Yea, and a more sure word will be expounded. Yea, the word that is written in the book. Yea, that hath withstood all the storms of life, all the criticism of time. Yea, but my word stands as truth tonight, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, when I say that a nation shall rise, it will rise. When I say that it shall be cast down, it shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Yea, nothing shall be too hard for your God. If God be for you, who can be against you? For he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us.
For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, precious is the Lord, and great to be praised. Hallelujah. He lives and reigns. I know that he lives because I feel him in my spirit and in my heart. Deep is calling unto deep, and the Lord is speaking great and wonderful things to his people. I am ever amazed at some of the things the Lord says. Sometimes I stand and just speak what I speak what I hear, and then I'm not thinking, I'm just speaking, and then I hear myself say something that I've got to get that tape and hear what I said there. What did I say? So many times it happens. Then, and I go back to get the tape, and I run it through to here. Now, what did I say there? What did the Spirit say? The Spirit was saying it through me. And some of the profoundest truths come. It's amazing. It overwhelms me. Hallelujah. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayers. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. I tell you, my heart is overwhelmed. I just recently picked up one of the little books from Blake Hamilton here, and there was a prophecy in it. I don't know if it was the last one or the one before this last one. I believe it was the last one. And it was such a profound truth. I had known it always. I know I had known it always, but I didn't know it in that order and in that fashion. If any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as yet as he ought to know it, the Apostle Paul said. If he thinks he knows it, he's going through the intellect. It's all right, get the intellect into it, but you get it anointed for you and let the intellect move with it. And then if he knows it by the intellect, he doesn't know it like you ought to know it, because he ought to know it by the Spirit. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and that if the skin worms eat this soul carcass, that I'll still see him for myself and not for another. In the last day, he'll raise me up. And I'll see him for myself and not for another. How do you know, Job? Every Bible scholar will tell you that Job was the first book written. He didn't read it anywhere. How did he know? Well, Job said, I know with my knower. Hallelujah. Now, there are some things that I know with my knower. And I couldn't prove it with test tubes. In any laboratory, I wouldn't know how to begin to prove it, but I know it. Amen. With my knower.
Amen.
And I had my knower before they had their two test tubes. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you get it from him, what's the old saying, you can go to the bank with it? Well, if you get it from him, it's good, isn't it? Good. Yes, I know with my knower. Yeah, I recall Job as one day in all of his mishaps and bad fortune that had befallen him, it looked like. And he sat in sackcloth and ashes and scratched his putrefied sores with broken pieces of pottery. And from deep within, there came a cry out of Job. Deep to deep. Only this time it was going the other direction, from Job to the Father. He said, oh, that there was a daysman that could touch me and heal me at the same time.
Oh, I know that he'd plead favorably for my case. You know, that was, hundreds and hundreds of years, I don't know just how many, before the baby ever cried in Bethlehem. But Job was, but from the depth of Job, there was that cry for that daysman, somebody that could touch both of us. And see today, even now, he's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. It's David, it's Job's daysman. Hallelujah. Amen. It's Job's daysman. He can touch God and touch man at the same time. Oh, and we'll find that he has an abundance of mercy for us. One of the prophets said, and in that day, I'll say, Lord, I'll praise you. Though you were angry with me, thine anger has now turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, the Lord is my shield and my glory. Behold, the Lord Jehovah is my shield and my glory. Then he has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day thou shalt say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Make mention that his name is exalted. For this is known throughout all the earth. Crowd and shout, you inhabitants of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. I think here the prophet was probably contrasting the old covenant with the new. And he said, though you were angry with me. You know, sometimes in the old covenant, it seemed God's wrath was anger. But in the new covenant, your anger's gone now, and you comfort me. My, didn't he? Jesus went back to the Father, and he said, first thing I'm going to do when I get there is pray the Father, and he'll send you a comforter. Hallelujah. The wrath is gone, and the comforter has come. Hallelujah. Amen. And holiness becometh his house. Oh, Lord, forever. Praise the Lord. I can tell we're going to have a good time around here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Jack. And Brother Tommy Cook from Tulsa is going to come and minister the word of the Lord, and whatever may be word of prophecy also. He's also a prophet of the Lord. And Brother Tommy, come and minister as the Lord leads. And close out the service.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's all stand again together real quick. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you again tonight, Lord Jesus, for this people. We thank you for this camp meeting. And we thank you most of all for Jesus. We thank you for this word, Lord, that will go forth in the meetings, the deliverance, the healings, and all that you'll do. And Lord, tonight as we approach the word, we approach it reverently, and we ask the Holy Spirit to help each one of us to hear. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Turn to Psalm 68. We'll just start with a scripture there. Let me believe that God's dealing with all of us, certain areas. And how many know that there's one area in all of us that he's dealing with, and that's rebellion. Every one of us. In Psalm 68, look at verse 6. The Bible said, God, and we know God's a spirit, isn't he? God setteth the solitary or the lonely in families. We didn't choose what family we were born in the natural, and we don't choose what spiritual family we're in. God chooses that for us, doesn't he? He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell somewhere in a dry land. Then we go over to verse 18. It said, thou hast ascended on high, speaking of our Lord, and thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Praise the Lord. How many are glad that Jesus found you where you were?
Amen.
How many know he come knocking on our door?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He found us before we found him. Amen. Now, let's go to the Old Testament, to Samuel. Just turn over there to Samuel. And I want to say something before we go into the Scripture here tonight, as we study a little on rebellion. And we know that Saul was a king in the Old Testament. His name means to be asked of God because it asked for a king. You remember that? And following Saul came David, David's reign, and David means beloved. And then, of course, after David came Solomon, which means peace. Now, before David's reign ended and Solomon's began, there was a problem, and the problem was with his son. His name was Absalom. Remember that? Yes. Now, David is a type of the Lord Jesus, is he not? Amen. And Solomon's time of peace is a time of the thousand-year reign coming upon the earth. Now, before Jesus comes and the millennium starts, we have got to overcome that spirit of Absalom that's in all of us. Now, we talk about Jezebel, we talk about Ahab, we talk about Absalom. Those areas are in us that we have to deal with individually. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, let's go over to 1 Samuel. And we want to look at chapter 14, I believe it is. We'll start in chapter 14. And let me tell you the type of guy this man was. He had called for an individual. He didn't come, so he just set his field on fire, burn up his crops. And I mean, God's setting our field afire too. But it's for our good, isn't it? It's not for destruction, it's for our good. Now, in 1 Samuel 14, in verses 25, it said, in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom. 2 Samuel, excuse me, 14:25. Pardon me. 2 Samuel 14:25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom, this father of peace. That's what his name means. For his beauty. I mean, no beauty can be a curse for some. And so here was a good-looking man, an attractive man. And notice it said, from his sole of his foot even to his crown of his head. There was no blemish in this man, in Absalom. So he was an attractive man. Now go back over to 1 Samuel. Hold your place there. Look in 1 Samuel 16. And let's look at his father here just a minute. 1 Samuel 16, and I want to look at verses 18. It says, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning. And that word cunning means skillfully in play. And a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent. That word prudent means eloquent or intelligent. He perceives, he understands, he's wise in matters. And notice this, and he's comely. And that word comely means beautiful or attractive. So David was a nice-looking man, wasn't he? In the physical, in the natural. But notice this, and the Lord is with him. Praise the Lord. So Absalom was praised for his beauty. Now, how many know the devil fell because of pride and because of his beauty as well? And so here's a man in all Israel being praised because of his beauty. Now, look in chapter 15 of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 15. And I want to look at verses, verse 4. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land. Yeah, politician, that's right. That's exactly right, Jack. Praise the Lord. Now, here's a man, I call him a smooth mouth, or a smooth talker. He's a charmer. He's a charismatic. He's a seducer. He's a beguiler. He is a deceiver. He uses flattery. There is a conspiracy working against the true king that's in office. Can you say amen? There is a coup working. He is an actor. Lying divination is operating through this one. He is rebellious against all authority. And he is a self-promoter. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hey, a lot in that, isn't it? All right. Notice here it says, if I were made judge in the land, that every man which had any suitor cause might come to me. and I would do him justice. So he's beginning to do what? Exalt himself, isn't he? All right, verse 5. How many know we have to look out? I appreciate that prophecy tonight. God said as we humble ourselves, as we go down, he will deliver us. Hallelujah. I believe as we humble ourselves before God, the mighty hand of God, there's nothing impossible with God to us. Amen? And so in verse 5 it says, and it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeyance or to bow down, he put forth his hand and took him, and notice he slobbered all over him. He kissed him. How many know it's a kiss of flattery? It's a kiss. It's a lying kiss. It's like Judas. And on this matter did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole, now look at that, stole the hearts. Be careful who you give your heart to. Can you say amen? Be careful, brethren, who you give your heart to or turn your heart over to. Because when you open your heart up and it's a wrong spirit, how many know you're going to get hit? You're going to get hurt. And it even could destroy you. So Absalom stole the hearts or won the favor of the men of Israel. And by deception and by flattery and all the things he was saying. Now look at verse 10, what else he did. It said, Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel. How many know Paul talked about the spies in the camp over in Galatians? Amen? Those that come in jack unaware. Remember that?
Yeah.
And how many's ever met up with spies? How many know the enemy has some spies? Yes. And so here's Absalom sending spies to all the tribes of Israel saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet. Now that should be the message. But how many know there's some messages you better be careful what you're going to hear? And he said, when you hear the trumpet, he said, then you shall say, you spies, you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. Now look at verse 11. And with Absalom went out 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. Notice that. And they went in their simplicity or their innocence, and they knew not anything. So he's stealing their hearts. They're following Absalom. And it says they knew not anything. Now, that would be terrible to have somebody steal your heart, follow a man, or follow a certain message, and not know anything, wouldn't it? Well, let me tell you, as the prophecy said tonight, there's deception in the land.
Amen.
And it's a great deception. That's not only in the world, of course, but it's in the church, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in the church. Now, look in verse 12. Look at verse 12. Now, we have another man here that I didn't mention a while ago. His name is Ahithophel. You know what his name means? A foolish brother. A foolish brother. Now, it said in verse 12, Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from this city, even from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong. So there's a conspiracy at work, isn't there? There's this coup at work, see, against the real king, against leadership, against authority. And so he sends for this man. And this is David's counselor. Now, look over in verse 31 just a minute here in this chapter about Ahithophel. It said that he was among the conspirators. Amen? With Absalom. So he's leaving the camp of David for the camp of Absalom, isn't he? Or, said this way, he's leaving Christ for Antichrist. I mean, we can leave Christ for Antichrist and not realize what we're doing. And this man, of course, knew what he was doing. And yet David prayed in verse 31. He said, oh Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. I mean, this man went out and hung himself later.
Yes.
Amen? So we can leave Christ for Antichrist. Now, it says here in verse 12 that this conspiracy was strong, for the people increased. This thing was like a snowball. It was increasing and mounting. You see, continually they were beginning to follow this man Absalom. In verse 13, there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said in verse 14, he said down in the middle, make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, or take us over, how you want to look at it, but overtake us. And so David was running for his life there. Now, look in Look in chapter 16, verse 21. We see some counsel here given to Absalom from Ahithophel. This man that left David for Absalom. And he tells him to go into his father's concubines, which he had left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So he goes in and commits sin with the concubines. Then we go up to chapter, chapter 18. Go up to chapter 18. We're just touching some things here tonight as the Lord leads us here. But in chapter 18, in verse 9, Absalom did something. It said he met the servants of David, and knows that he rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak. Now this oak tree didn't have a yellow ribbon around it. And his head caught hold of the oak. Anybody see that? Now we know this man's a rebellious man, isn't he? And yet it said his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Now here's a jackass on a jackass. Here's a rebellious one on a mule, isn't that right? And he was raptured. He was caught up between heaven and earth. And he was hanging there. And then he was shot through with some darts. He was killed. How many know rebellion will kill you, brethren? Rebellion will kill you. Amen. It will bring you to your death. It will destroy you. Now look down in the same chapter. Look in verse 18. 18:18. It said, now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar. And that word pillar means a monument. I mean, you know, there are many people making themselves monuments today. Amen. Putting their name on it, and God's not receiving always the glory from it. And here's a man who made up himself a pillar or a monument, which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it's called this day Absalom's Place. So he put his name on it. It was a monument, and he said, it's Absalom's Place. So there are many building their kingdoms. They're putting their names on it. But I want to tell you, it's Antichrist. Hallelujah. We better exalt Jesus, hadn't we? We better love the Lord. Amen? Now let's go over to Proverbs 17 a minute. I want to show you a scripture here on rebellion that we need to look at. Proverbs 17:11. 17:11. It says, An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, here's the result of it. A cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Now, whether that's a demon or a fallen angel, the thing is, it's still a messenger of the enemy, isn't it? Because it calls him what? A cruel messenger. Then we go up to Psalms 78. And we believe that Pharaoh was a cruel man. And he wouldn't let God's people go. He hated God's people. Well, let's see the results, not only of Pharaoh, but of the people here, even in Egypt, affected. Psalm 78, because of rebellion. Psalm 78:43. It says, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the field of Zoan. He turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and the sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle to the hail, their flocks to hot thunderbolts. Now look at verse 49, what else he did now. Here's the cruel messengers. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending evil angels among them. So, brethren, how many know when we open up to rebellion, we're opening up to a cruel messenger? Can you say amen? We've got to be careful. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at some scriptures here on rebellion. Turn to Genesis 10. Turn to Genesis 10. And look at verse 6. In verse 6, it talks about the sons of Ham. And he starts with Cush, and then there's Canaan and different ones. He comes right on down. And if you'll notice in verse 9, It said the last one, it said he was a mighty hunter, and that was Nimrod. So from Cush on down to Nimrod, you got 13 people. Nimrod's number 13. Now, 13 is the number of rebellion. Depravity and rebellion. And so it said, Nimrod, in verse 9, this mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Amen? See, rebel, bad bell, rebellion, right? Beelzebub, Jezebel. We've said that here before. All got a bell, doesn't it? And so, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Now, let's come over to chapter 11 a minute. And we know that it said, they said, go to, let us build us a city. I mean, God's building a city. And yet here they said, let us build a city and a tower that the top may reach to heaven, and let us make us a name. How many know that's rebellion? How many know there are people making themselves a name, building their own kingdom? Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They were one in their rebellion. They were in agreement and a unity in that rebellion. But how many know God's going to scatter it? If it didn't glorify God. And they have all one language. They were talking the same thing. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. I want you to notice the word imagine. And God said, go to, let us go down. That's the Godhead. Hallelujah. And confound their language. And verse 8 said, the Lord scattered them, you see, upon the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel. Confusion. Hallelujah. A lot of Babylon in the land, isn't there? A lot of Babylon in us. A lot of Babylon in the church. Babylon's got to come out of all of us. Now, look in Genesis 14:4. You'll notice in Genesis 14:4, here's some people serving for 12 years. And there's a big, long word. I'm not going to try to say I can say it, but I'm not going to. And then, I guess I'm rebellion. And in the 13th year, notice, they what? They rebelled. In the 13th year, they rebelled. So you see number 13 with the word rebellion, don't you? Now, look in Genesis now, chapter 16. I mean, you know that here's a man that's born here. Let's go back to verse 2. Abraham listens to Sarah. She says, go into my handmaid. And he goes into the handmaid, and verse 11, there's a son born, his name is Ishmael. And how many know that Ishmael means to be, it means God heareth. Look there in verse 11 just a minute. The angel of the Lord said to her, behold, thou art with child, to Hagar now. Thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because, here it is, here's the meaning of his name, the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Amen. Now what kind of man is he? Look in verse 12. And he will be a wild man. That word wild means a wild ass. And there's one in us that's got to be broken. He's got to be tamed. He's got to be taken to the cross. I say tamed. Taken to the cross and killed. Daily. Amen? Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
He will be a wild man. A wild ass. And his hand will be against every man. It's never changed, has it? Amen? Hallelujah. And they call his name Ishmael, verse 15. Now, look in verse 16. Abram, not Abraham, but Abram, his nature's not changed yet. Abram was 86 years old, that's 86, when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. That's 86 years of age. Now look at chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old, that's 13 years, isn't it? Then it says, the Lord appeared to Abram after 13 years. And he says, I'm Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. He's revealing himself as El Shaddai, isn't he here? The many-breasted one, the sufficient one, the one that's more than enough. And he changes his nature. So 13 years elapsed here between the birth of Ishmael and God coming to him. 13 years, the number of rebellion. The number of rebellion. Amen? I mean, sometimes we walk in rebellion for a while and wonder why we don't hear from God. Hallelujah. Maybe we brought forth Ishmael. Amen. Too long, right? How many know God's going to bring forth Isaac, though?
Amen.
God's going to bring forth an Isaac. Hallelujah. Son of promise, a supernatural birth, and so forth. Yes. And you'll notice over in verse 25 of chapter 17 that Ishmael, actually Abraham was 99 when he was circumcised. In verse 25, Ishmael was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh. See? 13 when he was circumcised in the flesh. Now, let's go to another scripture. Go to Genesis. Not Genesis, Mark. Let's go to Mark 7. Let's look at this number 13 here in Mark 7. And look at verse 20. Jesus, our Lord, is speaking. And he says, "That which cometh out of a man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men," now count these, "proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness." How many are there? 13. And where are they coming from? Out of man. Out of the heart of man. Jesus said right here again in verse 20, it's not that which comes out of man is what defiles the man. For within, you see, these things do come. Hallelujah. Now, how many know that there were 12 apostles in Jesus? How many does that make? Turn over to John, chapter 6, isn't it? John 6, I believe it is. I believe it's John 6. Yes, in verse 70, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a," come on, help me, "a devil." Jesus and 12 is how many? And there's a devil walking among the 13, isn't there? Now, the word dragon in Revelation is used 13 times. How many know he started this rebellion? He started it all. Let's look at it in Ezekiel 28 a minute. Turn over there. Ezekiel 28. Now, we're dealing with rulers on the earth, and yet we're dealing with princes in the heavenlies, aren't we? Our prince in the heavenlies. And verse 2, "Son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is what? Lifted up. And thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God." Then up to verse 6 he said, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God." Verse 9, "Will thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee." Verse 12, now look at verse 12. Here's the word coming to the prophet. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, and so forth." I'm thinking it's about 9 stones here. I mean, on Revelation, there's 12 stones. Huh? Yes. In verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have said thee so, thou was upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down the stones of fire." Verse 15, look at verse 15 now. "Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till" what? "Lawlessness, iniquity was found in thee." Now, look in verse 17, here it is. "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." How many know Satan reached up, and when he did, he fell? Amen. Jesus said, "I saw him as lightning fall from heaven." How many know when we reach up, we're going to fall? But if we go down, he's going to raise us up. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We need to go down tonight, brother. I believe God's saying tonight, go down. Go down under the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. He'll raise us up. Now, look in 2 Timothy a minute. 2 Timothy. Praise you, Lord. 2 Timothy. How many believe we're facing some trouble sometimes? We haven't. We have, and we will yet. Amen. Everybody there? All right, hold your place. Go to Matthew 8 with it. Matthew 8. In Matthew 8, let me find my scripture here. I don't have it marked. Look in verses. Look in verse 28, Matthew 8:28. And when he was come, this is the Lord, to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. Amen. Coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce. Everybody see those words? Exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. Well, how many know Jesus passed that way? Amen. These were torment. These people were demon possessed, and then they cried out, "Have you come to torment us before the time? Before the time." Well, we know they were set free. Now that phrase, exceeding fierce. Now look back in Timothy. I want to show you that same word right here in 2 Timothy 1. Same word in the Greek. This know also that in the last days, here it is, perilous times shall come. Or exceedingly fierce times will come. Same word. Now, those men were demon possessed. How many believe demons are let out of the pit? Huh? And so where he said perilous times, it means exceeding fierce, or it means also difficult times. It means furious times. And it means dangerous times. Are you hearing me? Now let's read some scripture here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. How many know that's rebellion? To love yourself above God.
Hallelujah.
Covetous. That means lovers of money. Boasters. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's rebellion, isn't it? Unthankful, unholy. Notice, unthankfulness is unholiness. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. It means no self-control. And fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I mean, all rebellion will take us into pleasure. It'll cause us to love ourself. It'll cause us to love pleasure. And in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort of they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, and so forth. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But how many know there's coming a confrontation? Look at verse 8 now. There's coming a confrontation between the righteous and the rebellious. Thank God. It said, as Jannes and Jambres withstood who? Who's Moses? God's authority in the earth, wasn't he? So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth, but they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs also was. I see a confrontation coming here in the last days. In the midst of fierce, exceeding fierce times, dangerous times, God will have His authority again in the earth. Can you say amen? And they're here, praise the Lord, to a certain extent. Amen? So there's coming a clash between darkness and light. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to turn that searchlight upon our hearts tonight. Upon that rebellion in our hearts. Now let's turn over now to Numbers 12. Numbers chapter 12. And in verse 1, I believe is the key here in this chapter. How many has ever read in Micah where it said when God brought Israel out of Egypt, He brought them out this order, by Moses, by Aaron, and by Miriam. Remember that? In that order. But how many know in the home, Miriam was the oldest. Then Aaron, then Moses. Now here it said, and Miriam and Aaron. So there's an order reversed here, isn't there? Now follow it. Miriam and Aaron spake against who? Who's Moses? God's authority, right? Because of the Ethiopian woman that he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Verse 2, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us, and the Lord heard it? Now they revile, they come against God's authority. And how many know when we do that, God eavesdrops. Amen. God listens. Come on, help me now.
Amen.
You cannot speak against God's authority and get away with it. I can't speak against it and get away with it.
Amen.
Whoever we're speaking against, we better judge ourselves. Amen?
Amen?
And so here they were speaking against God's authority and God heard it. Now, it said Moses, of course, was the meekest man. Verse 4, notice what the Lord did. He calls him out by order here. By his order. Suddenly calls him out. Moses, come out. Aaron, come out. And Miriam, come out. Hallelujah. Then look at verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. But you see in verse 1, it's Miriam and Aaron, isn't it? And now God said by his order, come out here, Aaron. Come out here, Miriam. And they both came out. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a what? Vision. Will speak to him in a dream. Verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him, with Moses, will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? I tell you, brethren, we need the fear of God tonight. That we don't speak against God's authority in this hour. Because I believe it's dangerous in the days we're living in to begin to rail and come against the authority, whatever that authority is, and whoever God has put in places of leadership. Come on, say amen. Amen. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. He departed. The cloud lifted. And when the cloud lifted, notice, Miriam became what? I mean, when that cloud lifts over your life, you step in the enemy's territory, you come against God's anointed and God's authority. I mean, that cloud will leave in your life and that leprosy will take hold of you and I. Amen. Anybody here? Hallelujah. And Aaron looked upon Miriam and she was leprous. And notice what Aaron said in verse 11. We have done foolishly. We have sinned. I mean, it was better to confess it and get it over with. Huh? And God said, let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed. And Moses cried out as an intercessor, God, I beseech. He said, heal her. And look at what God's response was in verse 14. Now, here's God's response upon the one that instigated this thing. And listen to what God said. The Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp. I mean, no rebellion shuts everything down. Amen. It brings everything to a halt, doesn't it? And God said, let her be shut out of the camp and then received in again. And can you imagine while she's walking out the camp, everybody's looking at her. And God's cloud won't move, the people can't move until she's brought back into the camp. So rebellion will not only kill you, it'll shut you down. Amen. The glory cloud will lift. And leprosy may take hold of us. Amen. Amen. Look in 1 Samuel 15. I've been aware lately of some articles, which I won't go into and say where anything, coming out strong against some of God's servants. And I think it's very dangerous to name people publicly. God again says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. I think it's dangerous. And I told our brother tonight, I'm just going to sit back and watch because I believe some heads are going to roll if they don't repent. In 1 Samuel 15, 23, it said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, you'd ask many Christians, are you in witchcraft? And many would say, no. But if you'd ask many of us if we've got areas of rebellion, well, I believe we'd have to confess that, yes, we do. We've got many areas. Come on now, help me. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, just as though you're practicing witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou, Saul, hast rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord's rejected you from being king. The same word that made him king rejected him from being king. Isn't that right? Look in chapter 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Now, look in 1 Chronicles 10. Let's follow this up. I want to show you rebellion that leads you to your grave. 1 Chronicles 10. And I don't care about going to a grave early. How about you? I don't. In 1 Chronicles 10:13, it said, so Saul died for his transgression which he committed against who, brethren? Against the Lord. Even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Rebellion would lead you to a witch. And inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him. The Lord slew him. And turned the kingdom, of course, to David, the son of Jesse. Praise God. So rebellion will destroy. Look in Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 in the Scripture. Isaiah 30, verse 1. And notice what it said. Woe to the rebellious children. What kind of children are they? Rebellious. And notice, saith the Lord, God's talking, that take counsel, they're listening to somebody, but not the Holy Spirit. I mean, no, you can't always go by the advice you get. Because we better try the spirits to see if they be of God. Isn't that right? But in the multitude of counselors, come on, help me, there is what? Safety. And we need good counsel, don't we? We need to hear good counsel from seasoned ministries. Just because a man puts a shingle out doesn't mean he's a counselor, her, whoever she is, or he is. Hallelujah. That take counsel, but not of me. God said they're listening to somebody, but not of me. And notice what else they do with that. They cover with a covering. We got all kind of coverings floating around today, but I'll tell you, God's my covering. I don't know about you. Now, I mean, there's protection in local groups and so forth, but God's He's the covering, isn't He? And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Here it is, that they may add sin to sin. So rebellion causes you and I to listen to somebody else. It gets us out from the covering, the true covering, and sin begins to come. And verse 2, notice where we walk. We begin to go back into the world, into Egypt. That's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And notice God said, I have not asked in my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of who? Pharaoh. Look in Ezekiel 29. Let's see who Pharaoh is a type of. I believe it's 29, isn't it? Hallelujah. 29. Ezekiel 29, verse 2. Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Here it is, the great dragon. So when we go into rebellion, who are we following, brethren? We're following the dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers. And you know that's people as well. I believe there's something in the natural out there, but I believe it's people. Which saith, my river is mine own, and I've made it for myself. But I will put hooks in thy jaws, and will cause the fish of thy rivers to stick to thy scales, and so forth. So when we're going in rebellion, we're following the dragon. Now go back to Isaiah 30. He said in verse 2, they walk to go down to Egypt. They have not asked in my mouth, God said, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, which is the type of the dragon, and notice to trust in the shadow of Egypt, not in under the shadow of the Almighty, but in the trust in the shadow of the world. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh or the dragon be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your confusion. And again, Babylon means confusion, doesn't it? Chapter 31. Hallelujah. Between chapter 30 and 31, he said the great towers are going to fall, didn't he? How many have seen some towers falling? That pride's got to go, doesn't it? Chapter 31, verse 1. Woe to them that go down where? To Egypt for help. Help of the world. And stay on horses. Horses can speak of worldly strength. And trust in chariots. I mean, no, that's what you make with your own hands. That's the arm of flesh, isn't it? Because they are what? Many. And in horsemen, because they're very strong, but they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. So, let us not put our trust in the world.
Hallelujah.
Let us put our trust in the Lord. If we put our trust in the world, we're moving totally in rebellion against God. Amen? Look over in Jeremiah 28. Now, I don't have time to go on this prophecy here. But here's a man that began to prophesy. His name is Hananiah. And how many know he prophesied and in one sense, Jeremiah went along with him, and then all of a sudden he got a revelation from God, didn't he? Amen. Look in verse 15. I won't read the whole thing. Read it sometime when you can. But look in verse 15 of chapter 28. Then said the prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie." You know what that is? That's the tale of the dragon, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. And Isaiah 9 is the prophets that cause people to trust the lie. And right here again, here is a man causing people to trust a lie. Verse 16. "Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die." Now this is Jeremiah telling Hananiah that. Now here it is. "Because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord." He said, "You're going to die for that." And he did. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year. Look in chapter 29. Look in chapter 29. Here's another man, Shemaiah. And God said in verse 31, rather, the latter part of verse 31, God said, "I sent him not. He calls you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among the people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for the people, saith the Lord, because," here it is, "he hath taught rebellion against the Lord." Did you hear that? "He hath taught rebellion against the Lord." Amen. So it's dangerous to open up to that spirit. If you're setting out a rebellion, that spirit will get into you. Amen. If you're setting out a truth, that truth will get into you. We better have some discernment. Amen. We better know what we're hearing and who we're setting under in this hour. Amen. If you're following, Balaam, you know, Balaam opened up to divination, didn't he? The rewards of divination came to this man. He could have said no. He could have said, "Get out of here. I don't want your gifts." But he received them into his house. Remember that? He opened himself up. He became one with that particular thing, our divination. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said that this man of God who had visions of God, it said that he died as a soothsayer. Simply because he opened up to divination. And so whatever you open up to, that's what you're going to be. Amen? Look over, and let me show this. Look in Deuteronomy 18. Look at one scripture here on this. Deuteronomy 18. Look at verse 9. God said, "When thou art come into the land, Israel," that's who he's talking to, "which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." All right? Now, look at verse 12. He names all these things we shouldn't get involved, all the witchcraft and all the, you know, the charmer, the wizardry and all the familiar spirits and so forth. Verse 12. "For all that do these things," look at that next word, "are an abomination." See? If you open up to abomination, you become an abomination. You become one with that thing, don't you? See? He said, "For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord, of course, is driving out the nations." Amen? Amen. So, we need to repent tonight of rebellion. I want to give you two of the scriptures. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. And I want to look at verse 10. Do you know God can become your adversary? 63:10. He became Balaam's adversary, didn't he? It said, "But they," this is God's people, "rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit." So what do we do when we rebel? We vex the Spirit, don't we? The Holy Spirit. "Therefore He was turned to be their enemy," and notice, "He fought against them." So when God turns to be our enemy, He's going to fight against us. When's He going to do that? When we rebel and vex His Spirit. Now look in Matthew chapter 24. There are areas of rebellion in all of us that we don't even realize is there, that we need to repent of. In Matthew 24:11, Jesus said, "Many false prophets." A false prophet has a false spirit. He may have been a true prophet at one time. Many false prophets shall what? Rise and shall deceive many. We're talking about the end of the age, aren't we? And because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we're going from hot to cold. We're going from the positive to the negative. We're going from obedience to disobedience. Amen? But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. But in the midst of it, look in verse 14. This gospel of what? The kingdom. Hallelujah. Shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then alone shall the end come. Hallelujah. So right in the midst of iniquity and rebellion, God said the kingdom will go forth. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Oh, Rababa Kandala Baba Sida Baba Kaya. Kor Rababa Sandala Baba Kita Rababa Sanda Bakaya. Oh, Rababa Kandala Baba Sika Rababa Sida Baba Haya. Hayala Baba Sandala Baba Kaya. Oh, Rababa Kaya. Hayya Baba Kaya. Hallelujah. 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 Mighty God, we worship you tonight. Oh, Rababa Sandala Baba Kita Rababa Saya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let everyone pray after me, if you will. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, I repent this night of rebellion, sins of rebellion, known and unknown. Lord Jesus, you're my head. And tonight I confess to you my rebellion. And Lord Jesus, I take dominion over all rebellion, and I come against it, and I break its hold, I break its power, I put my foot on its neck, and in the name of Jesus, rebellion, come out of me, loose me, break off all the chains, Lord, all the ropes, all the bondages of rebellion. Loose me from the world, from selfishness and fleshly desires. I rebuke all demonic powers from my mind and my life. Satan, I charge you, take your hands off. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Take a deep breath and let it go. In Jesus' name. Let it come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All rebellion, come out. All rebellion against authority, come out. All rebellion against God's authority, come out of the people in the name of Jesus. Against all authority, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on, yield to that. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Hardness of heart. Come on, come out. Every bit of it in the name of Jesus. All rebellion. We come against you in the name of the Lord. We break your power. We break your hold over God's servants and God's people in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out, rebellion. Come out of the people in the name of Jesus. I command you and I charge you by the authority of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. You come out and loose God's servants in Jesus' name. Some of the workers may have to go out and help some of them. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out, rebellion. Come out, rebellion, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all rebellion against God's authority, come out in Jesus' name. We curse that thing in the name of the Lord. We speak obedience. We speak obedience to God's servants here tonight in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's just praise the Lord. Let's praise Him. Come on. Praise Him. You feel that still coming up? Let her go. If you feel that heaviness inside, let it go. Let it be broken off your shoulder, off your back tonight. In the name of Jesus, all rebellion, all rebellion, all stubbornness, be broken off in the name of Jesus. We command it to come out and come off of you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
praise you, Lord. Let's praise him now. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray again. Father, again, if we've touched God's authority, forgive us tonight in any aspect, any one of us here tonight. We repent in the name of Jesus, and we've touched your authority, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we come against that spirit now, and we break your hold. We break your dominion in Jesus' name. You lying spirit, get off of God's people. Get off of God's people, you lying spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head. Hallelujah. He is the authority. And we submit to him this night. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn. Oh, you'll dismiss. Praise the Lord. Let's dismiss tonight. Prayer meeting 6 o'clock in the morning. Father, we thank you again for this word tonight. And we ask God to not give the people rest, Lord, in their bodies. And Father, I pray that those who've come for deliverance will truly be delivered, as the word of the Lord said tonight. And God, as we go down and humble our hearts before you, we believe and expect deliverance will be ours this week. And we thank you, and everybody said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.